It's Monday, March 5th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 747, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting account by using the promo code CES2. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, doing a very early afternoon recording here, kind of a strange deal. We'll talk about it in a second. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha, and you're watching Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio, overlooking Greater Honolulu. Well, this is the second start to the show. I started it about 15 minutes ago, but the TriCaster decided it was going to choke on me this afternoon. But I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime subscribers of the show. Thanks for being here and being part of the family. Of course, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, I want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all my great content. All you got to do really is just go over to GNC and you can subscribe to the show there. It's real easy. By that second column of the website, you're going to see a subscribe bar with the RSS, iTunes, and Zune links in there. So definitely want to get you subscribed up to the show. Of course, you check all our shows out at the site. We've got the Saturday Morning Tech Show, the Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, the Chrome Show, and of course, our special media events feed. While you're there, get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show today. You'll be able to get a copy of that immediately following the show, delivered directly to your inbox if you're subscribed to the newsletter portion of the show. Of course, we want to encourage you, if you haven't checked the show out live, to watch us on a Roku channel, on Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, or on Google TV. If you want to reach me here at the show, it's real easy. You can follow me on Twitter at GeekNews. GeekNews@gmail.com. GeekNews@gmail.com is the email address, along with our hotline open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at +1 619 342 7365. Well, of course, hey everybody, how you doing on this beautiful Monday afternoon? It's been kind of the sun finally came out here in Honolulu. We've been raining for the last couple of days. They say we're going to rain for a couple more days, but we need the rain in a worse sort of way. I feel sorry for the tourists that are here, but boy, it's just been a real light winter. If you can call Hawaii having a light winter, being that it really never gets below about 70 degrees, but we have had really a lack of rain this season. So every little bit we get this point really helps. Of course, I want to thank our sponsors of the show and Take Care of Business here. And we'll get into some comments on the show. But GoDaddy.com, you definitely want to check them out. They've got lots of great offers. And of course, I want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You'll find all my promo codes there. But I've got a great hosting deal for you right now. If you go over to GoDaddy.com and look at their fourth generation hosting, really, I'm giving you 25% off on web hosting plans 12 months or more. This is an amazing offer. So really, you're getting a heck of a deal here, along with a heck of a hosting plan. So definitely check that out. Now, again, don't forget, I've got lots of promo codes, and you'll definitely want to check all those out, and you'll find them there on the main, find the link to this page on the main page at Geek News Central. I do have some March specials going on. I've got free private registrations with a domain purchase or a transfer. So for basically a $9.99 value free by using the promo code MARCH4, MARCH4, or we're going to get you $7.99.co domains for the first year. Use the code COFEB3, and of course our CES2 code is ongoing. Don't forget, Geek5 will save you 15% on any order $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. ComSale will get you $7.99.coms. Geek will get you $5 off any order, $30 or more. Central get you $10 off any order, $50 or more. And Aloha get you $20 off any order, $75 or more. So we've got everything there for you at GoDaddy. Definitely check us out. Thanks for GoDaddy being a longtime sponsor here. I did get a couple of comments today in some feedback. We'll save those at the end of the show on GoDaddy. And let's just be honest. GoDaddy's been with us since the beginning, since 2005, when they came on as a sponsor here in June of 2005. They've taken care of me and literally thousands of other podcasters and supporting shows when no other company in the space was. And they're definitely, I appreciate them as a sponsor here and hope you do too. And that'll lead into the comments we'll have at the end of the show. Hey, we want you to make sure to submit a show review as part of your, you know, watching the show. If you haven't done that over on iTunes or Zoom or wherever you're watching the show, submit a show review, put something up on your blog site, write a Twitter post, anything like that is going to help the show. And a part of our show 150 celebration, if you do submit a show review someplace, drop me a line with a link to it, or just do a screen capture and we'll put you in the pile for our prize giveaway when we hit show number 750 here in just a few short episodes. Those of you that were watching last week were able to get access to the QR code. I'm going to throw that up there for you that are watching and give you access to go to our listener survey for those of you that are on the video side of the place. Hey, just real catch you up on my schedule. I'm going to be doing a show here in Honolulu on Thursday. And then this following week, I fly off to Silicon Valley. I fly out Sunday night. I'll be there the 12th, 13th, and 14th and flying back to Honolulu on the 15th. So I'll have one show next week from Silicon Valley on the 12th and then back again here in Honolulu to the studio on the 15th. And then things just get crazy into March, a couple of trips to the East Coast and a lot of things going on. So very going to start off to a very busy year, and I hope that you enjoy the variety because there is going to be some, but I want to thank all of you for your continued support. Okay, let me go ahead and look here. One thing I'm looking for feedback on, and you just drop me an email and let me know. Looking for feedback on, since all the CES videos have now been up for a while, and you guys have had a chance to preview those on the Special Media Events feed, you know, what did you like about the CES videos? What didn't you like? What didn't you like about the coverage? Again, looking for feedback on that at geeknews@gmail.com. We did a tech podcast roundtable this past Saturday as well, as along with a Saturday morning tech. You'll find those on the website and lots of good stuff there for content creators. And had a great conversation with Annie McCaskey of SDR News and Rob Greenlee of Zune. And really, it's really the Xbox 360 Windows Phone team. Because really Zune as a player is gone, but the Zune marketplace is still there. And still a large number of you watch this show from that device, along with about 160 other devices that are out there and how you're tuning in, whether it be via audio or video. All right, let me go ahead here and take care of our last little bit of business, and we'll get right into the content this afternoon here in sunny Honolulu. You know, for a long time now, I have worked remotely, and I have done a massive number of meetings online, over the phone, when I'm mobile, you name it. It really, I'm really doing business almost anytime, anywhere. And many times when you're doing meetings, you develop trust in people as time goes on. And when you can see them face to face, it builds that trust level even more, faster. And, you know, building trust can be a tough hurdle in business. And when you have employees and clients around the world, you know, we're part of a global business right now. And that's why I recommend a GoToMeeting with HD Faces. And this really is a unique way to have an online meeting. It helps you get better connected with people that you depend on for success and that you're doing business, establishing business relationships with. I was talking with Jeffrey on it the other day. We were doing this demo on Saturday Morning Tech, and we were just showing the screen, and he wanted me to do something, and he kind of did a little, you know, pointed at something while we were just right up on an online, you know, basically an online session going, and really there was nothing more than the screen being shown. Yet because we could see each other through the webcams, I was able to make some adjustments and cover what he wanted me to cover. So with GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate with your team, a client, in real time from anywhere in the world, with your iPad, your iPhone, with even an Android device as well, or right on your main computer. And I use it for my meetings here on a daily basis. So start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. As a listener of the show, you get a full 30-day trial. Don't wait for this special offer. And really, it's easy peasy. All you got to do is go over to GoToMeeting. And I'll actually put this right up here on the screen for you. Go over to GoToMeeting.com. You click the try it free button. There's a little orange button there. Enter your name, email address, and enter the promo code podcast. And that'll get you that free 30-day trial. Be sure to put the promo code podcast in again for that free 30-day trial. All right, let's go ahead and get into the stack here of content I've got for you today. Oh, let me just back up. Why am I doing an afternoon show? Well, I thought it might be fun to do one. I kind of got caught up on some of my paperwork and had a few free hours this afternoon. And I thought, well, let's, instead of doing the show at 8 p.m. Honolulu Standard Time, let's do it at like 1 or 1:30 and see how it goes. And here we are. A couple of quick false starts this morning because of the with the TriCaster acting up. But other than that, we're up and running, and we're starting to see some people jump into the chat room on both Ustream and on the tech on my live at geeknewscentral.com. So those that are watching, and welcome to the show. All right, let's talk about Facebook Messenger. You're thinking, Facebook Messenger. What is Facebook Messenger? Well, you know, Messenger for Windows, right? Well, they've introduced Messenger for Facebook. And I, be quite frank with you, I kind of forgot that there was even a Messenger platform anymore. I've gotten so used to doing everything via Twitter. I've, you know, doing stuff right on Facebook. And I really kind of totally forgot about this actual messaging client. So Windows is finally deciding that they need to be on the Facebook side of things. So they've got a now a dedicated Messenger app for those of you that have a Messenger account. So you can chat while you do other stuff and use the app right on Facebook. So the link was up on Engadget. I have that in the show notes for you too. Of course, all of our show notes are fully, basically it's got a full stack of everything I'm going to cover today. So definitely you'll want to come over to Geek News Central and check that out. China Mobile is claiming that 15 million iPhone subscribers are using iPhones, yet they're not even selling the Apple handset. It kind of relates to a video I'm going to show you a little later. See if I can actually find that now and bring that up. I should have had that in the stack. Let's see, where was that at? There's basically, I got a video for you a little later in the show. Is that it? Nope, it's not. I've got it buried here in the lineup tonight. But apparently this, you know, with 15 million iPhone subscribers and not selling any phones, it's pretty impressive that they've been able to smuggle in that many phones so far. But, you know, China Mobile is the world's largest telco with 655 million subscribers. It is, of course, doesn't carry the iPhone, but you can use an iPhone with the carrier. And but this is going to change here soon. China Telecom is going to start selling the 4S next week. So we'll see how that works out. But anyway, there's that many phones online in China. So they've a number of those. That's a lot of smuggling for sure. Hey, there's a good article over at Geek News Central talking about Ford announcing a big update to My Ford Touch owners. And we've covered this in the show previously, but earlier this afternoon, Ford announced that they'll be issuing a major update this week to all My Ford Touch owners. Of course, as My Ford Touch is an in-car, My Ford Touch is the in-car touch controls that work for smartphones and MP3 players and different apps and so forth. But features of the faster system response, easier control, tablet compatibility, simple controls, enhanced voice recognition, And of course, a lot of this was brought about by my Ford Touch customer feedback to Ford. And we covered this last year when we went out and drove and got some briefings by Ford. We knew this was coming. It's going to come in a kit. And I've actually got a picture of the actual kit. You're going to get a USB drive. Now, this can be done at home, or you can have this done during your next service call. And the folks over at Uber Gizmo shows you the little kit that's going to come and how to basically the steps to do the install. If you don't feel, again, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, they'll do it at a Ford authorized dealer. And the update's going to take about 45 minutes is my understanding. So it'll take a little while to do it, but you probably, I don't know if you have to have your car running the entire time. But this is probably something you'll want to plan in advance where you're not driving around and going somewhere. But again, the upgrade package should arrive to the first users this week and contain, again, the detailed instructions on how to perform this. And those who have opted for a GPS system will get an additional SD card with updated maps as well. This is all free. It's not costing you a penny. So Ford's committed to upgrading the My Ford Touch, and this is part of their commitment to that platform. Earlier today, I was contacted by the folks over at BigStockPhoto.com, and they're doing something unique, and I actually kind of like this. They have basically offered up free images for us. All I have to do, really, on each blog post that we use one of their images is I have to link back to the photo that we used. And I've seen a lot of big name sites do this. But, you know, if you look at those of you that are watching, the photo that I have posted in the blog post today is, if I would have bought that, it would have been $2.50 to buy the actual rights to have that image used on my website. And you thought, okay, well, that's cool, Todd. But if, you know, you think about our writers here, you know, we're putting up 100 articles a month. That's, you know, that's $250. You know, the $300 that is would be going outboard just for image support. So the folks at Big Stock are providing us, at least temporarily, some images, and we're linking back to them. So definitely check them out. BigStockPhoto.com is the website. And it'll be fun to see how this all works out. Very cheap marketing for them, and also saves me money in overhead on buying stock photos, so that we stay within the copyright law. All right, there's lots of rumors about Apple's the Apple TV plan, and of course, we're a short 2 days away from the announcement of the new iPad 3, iPad HD, and of course, the new Apple the Apple TV. We do know that Apple's pitching the idea of offering channels as apps for its devices. We do know, and it's that Apple's tried to get cable operators to work with it to improve the accessibility and look of video services in the process. And they also haven't given up and are pursuing telecom companies as well. So we'll see where that heads. But I think really what's going to end up happening is they're just going to feed the app frenzy, and there's going to be apps available on the new Apple TV. And but I think that the cable TV providers are very hesitant in coming on board and providing channels on a a la carte basis, because it just, you know, it'll hurt the cable like Time Warner and Comcast. So we'll see where this goes. I'm excited to hear the announcements on the 7th. And we do know that there are some Apple devices being shipped out of China that they have got a part number for, but an unrelated product. So we'll see if that is actually the Apple TV. Now, ever since I've had my a mobile phone with a clock on it, I have very rarely worn a watch. And a lot of people now are going to wearing more retro watches, stuff that's really cool. And one thing that I found here was a watch called the Devon Thread. Now, this watch is, it's awesome. I'm looking at it and I'm just like totally jazzed until I got to the price. The price of this thing is $17,000. And once you watch the demo on it, you're going to be like, oh man, I want one of these. This is a true geek watch. And it's, but you know, it shouldn't no watch should cost as much as a car or, you know, or a reasonably priced car, a used car, but $17,500, give me a break. But I must say, it is cool and be nice to have one for bragging rights. But for those of you that are listening, it basically has a tape mechanism that, you know, it doesn't have LEDs or anything like that. It's actually using a tape with numbers on it to change the actual the time. So it looks very fragile. I wouldn't want to wear it very often, but it would definitely be a conversation piece, that's for sure. Found that over on Old Gizmo. And I don't know if I covered this on the last show. This had kind of made the rounds. Did you know there's a gun for when you want someone to shut up? And basically, a Japanese scientist have created a gun-like device whose entire purpose is to make someone stop talking. It works by projecting the target's own back voice to them, but with a slight delay. Oh, so that's what it does. It sends you a feedback loop. And you, those of you that have done podcasting and have gotten a feedback loop before, you'll know that it's almost impossible to speak when you're hearing yourself a few, you know, just a little bit after when you actually speak. It totally drives you nuts. It just, the brain doesn't process it real well. So that's what they're doing. They're actually projecting the person's voice back at them. It's pretty cool. But the device consists of a directional mic, a directional speaker, a distance finder, and a laser for targeting the speaker's mouth. And basically, you point this at the source of annoyance, pull the trigger, and watch him stop speaking. There is some videos of it in action, and you just see these people's bewildered faces. So I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, it's official. The U.S. wants to extradite the Megalode suspects. The U.S. authorities have put in the official request to expedite Megalode up founderkim.com and three other suspects in the mega conspiracy. And this doesn't come as a surprise, but prosecutors did wait to the last minute to do this. And we'll see how the battle is now on extraditing these two, and time will tell how this works out. But in New Zealand, crimes must carry a 4-year prison sentence to be deemed extraditable. And under the country's Copyright Act, distributing and infringing work carries 5 years maximum sentence. So they very well could be extradited to the U.S. I think that we'll see how this goes. But, you know, I'm surprised these two guys haven't bolted, or any of these defendants haven't bolted already. And but they're probably under very close scrutiny, and I don't know, maybe they're not going to be able to, but I just keep waiting for news to say, oh, these two guys have left the country. These gentlemen have went somewhere else. Boy, I tell you, the peer-to-peer community is in uproar. Apparently, some internet piracy groups decided to implement some new regulations, and I didn't even know there was regulations and standards for people that were sharing music and TV shows. But instead of releasing TV shows on the Xvid AVI format, groups are now have switched to the MP4 X.264 encode, and BitTorrent users are all upset, and they're directing angry at their BuildWorld torrent sites, and even threatening to boycott releases. So essentially what this boils down to is when you get an Xvid.avi version of a TV show, it can be played on most major DVD players. So probably that's what people are doing. They're buying DVD, they're taking them with them, they're watching them, they're sharing them. But when it's in MP4, it's not in a format that's readily usable in a DVD player. So they're probably having, you know, some people are just confused on the technology side, but they were upset. So the folks that are basically getting this free content illegally are now upset because of the format change. And I just think it's hilarious. I do. I think it's very funny, but they are all upset. All right. I want to show you guys a cool picture here that NASA released. And this is the Apollo 15 landing site, imaged from an altitude of 25 kilometers. And this is the highest resolution view from orbit. This is the picture was taken by the Lunar Roving Vehicle, LRV. The Lunar Roving Vehicle, and I'm just taking this information off the webpage, is parked to the far right, and the Lunar Module Descent Stage is in the center. And of course, the LRV tracks are indicated with arrows. Let's see, what did they take this with? This was an image from the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter Narrow Angle Camera. And I don't know what ALSEP is. There's a thing in this picture that says ALSEP. So I have to look that up. But pretty cool. They got this this all listed out. And then they got some better maps that showed where the actual EVAs went and some different things happened during the Apollo mission. So this is the most in-depth picture that was ever taken. So pretty cool. I have a link up in the show notes for you to review. Okay. Now, in more space news, Mars has a close encounter with Earth tonight. So the planet Mars makes its closest swing by Earth in more than 2 years, just days after reaching a celestial milestone called opposition. As it circles the sun tonight, the orbit of Mars will bring the red planet within about 63 million miles of Earth. And so tonight, as the moon comes up, if you look, you're going to have to wait till the moon gets semi-high in the sky. And then if you look to the left of the moon and down, it should be the brightest star that you see. And you should see it shining bright in the eastern sky. And you even should be able to see the tone of it. But this is the red planet's closest approach again in over 2 years. And, you know, a relative turn, 63 million miles. Now, every once in a while, someone captures a pretty cool picture. And I've, you know, having flown all over the world, I've gotten to see lots of cool weather phenomena. But I've never seen anything like what I'm going to have for you in the show notes. This was a picture that was shot off the coast of Brazil, and it shows a rolling cloud, that's what they call it, a roll cloud, shelf cloud, and pretty amazing stuff. And it looks pretty sinister, but this picture was taken aboard a ship when en route from Brazil to Uruguay, I guess, and but anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Looks pretty low. And nice sinister along the bottom where the storm path is. But very cool stuff. Every once in a while, I just find that kind of stuff. If you guys find cool stuff like that, and send them to me via email. And send me those kinds of links. I always like to capture that kind of good stuff to share with you guys. All right. How many of you like maple syrup? Well, you better go buy your maple syrup right away, because there is going to be a maple syrup shortfall. And it apparently because of the warm winter, there was not a lot of sap that was collected. So that means a lot less maple sugar on the market, meaning a lot more expense this year. I know it's not tech related, but when that kind of news is out there, you got to share that as much as you can. Oh, here's this video. I found this over on Gizmodo, and let me see if I can load this here. And I'm going to play this for you. And let's see, can I blow this up? Yeah, I can. Here we go.
Wildfire throughout China. But that doesn't mean every iPhone is a fake. Increasingly, iPhones are being smuggled into mainland China, and the smugglers are getting pretty creative.
Apple's new iPhone 4S and its electronic helper Siri has become a serious smuggling problem in China. Smugglers are frequently busted trying to illegally sneak the smartphone into mainland China. The reason? The iPhone 4S sells for $125 cheaper in Hong Kong. Smugglers try to make a quick buck buying the phone there and selling it in the mainland. This is the Luohu district of Shenzhen, a port entry where authorities have been battling increasingly inventive methods of smartphone smuggling. Since the beginning of the year, over 3,000 phones have been seized in a total of 231 cases. In this recent footage from February 21st, a man attempts to pass through customs with 30 iPhones tied to his waist and ankles. Customs officials noticed something was amiss when the man couldn't bend over to pick up his suitcase. About 250,000 travelers pass through here every day. Customs officials have seen some pretty clever tricks.
Look at the shirt. Six internal pockets were sewn into it with three iPhones stuffed into each, so 18 phones can be held inside. And if we look at this pair of shoes, a man had stainless steel plates in his shoe soles and stuffed four iPhones inside.
Ironically, it's here in Shenzhen that the phones are made. When NTD asked Siri for her take on the smuggling, she answered, "No comment."
So anyway, here you got people smuggling in iPhones because they're $125 cheaper in Hong Kong. They can bring them into, you know, into the actual, you know, to the mainland China and sell them for 120, you know, for a profit. And of course, there's a huge demand for these things. But, you know, that guy has to be gasping because, you know, like you got... you know, they caught him with 30, so, you know, he's out a huge amount of money having bought all those phones. But anyway, it's kind of funny to see this big issue they're having in China. And along with that, we're hearing that the iPad 3 shipments that are being sent from China is causing a impact to available cargo space on international cargo routes between DHL, FedEx, and UPS. Apple's bringing in so many devices right now that companies are having a hard time getting access right now to available cargo space. So it tells you that after the announcement on Wednesday that these devices are probably going to be readily available. My wife has already asked me to advance order her one, so she's pretty excited. She's going from an iPad 1 to an iPad 3. Okay, let's go ahead. Let's talk about South by Southwest a little bit. You know, I've decided again not to attend this year largely because I think South by Southwest, as fun as it is, personally, I think it's outgrown Austin. You know, Austin's a great place. I love the city. I know that South by Southwest has its roots there, but they just do not have enough convention center and enough hotels, and everything is, I mean, I thought pricing for hotels and stuff at CES was expensive, but South by is just... it's crazy. And to go to parties and stuff, you stand in lines forever. But if you are going to South by Southwest, it's a big part of the atmosphere there. And you're going to want to use a new app called LocalMind. And it's a crowdsourced location app. And it's going to allow users to ask local experts anything about nearby bars, restaurants, and other venues. And this year, the startup will be back at South by, and it hopes to alleviate some of the frustration that happens in a town filled with dozens of parties and ten thousands of it's going to show where people are swarming, and it's going to ask if it's worth going to, if the line's too long, you know, what the guy girl scene is and all that stuff. So anyway, attendees can avoid the lame parties, and believe me, there are plenty of lame parties at South by. You can end up standing in line an hour for and get in, you're like, oh my god, we need to leave. But I obviously when I go to South by, I, you know, the free booze and food attracts, I guess for a better word, not always the right kind of people. So we always tend to go places where we have to pay for our food and have to pay for our drinks, and it's a different crowd for sure. But anyway, there is a full spreadsheet of South by parties that are available online. You can just search for that and you'll easily find it. All right, the FCC is avoiding making the light squared mistake with Dish. The FCC has on last Friday denied Dish Network's request to build a terrestrial LTE network. It didn't say no completely, but they need to study it and review it. So we'll see what happens here, but it may take as much as a year for Dish to get this approval. But the FCC is trying to prevent what happened with light squared. All right, over on Giggle, and they're talking about a new app that you can use to write apps. And this is pretty cool. MIT released the MIT App Inventor. And So there is going to be a lot of people. And I was looking at this program today. It does not look difficult at all. This made some advancements on this thing. All right, now this has been out for a while, but the app is now in open beta for anyone that has a Google ID. And it's not too hard to get a Google ID. If you need one, you just go ahead and apply for one. But they've done a lot of improvements to it. So I have a link up in the show notes for you to check it out if you want to build your own Android app. I was reading on Dave Weiner's site. Apparently, he's doing a new series of podcasts with Adam Curry. And I don't know what this is all about. I'm looking at the RSS feed here. And have they done? Looks like they've done 1, 2, 3, 4, about 4 episodes. So I'm going to subscribe and see what these guys have to say. And kind of interesting that he's starting another show. But link will be up in the show notes on that if you want to tune in. And those of you that have been around for a while, you know the historical semblance here of Curry and Weiner doing a show together. Okay. Also, some more rumors that the iPad 3 will have 4G LTE networking. I don't know. We'll see on that one if it will or not. I'm semi-suspect on this if that's actually going to happen. But people are saying it's going to. And but that will mean, the problem is that Verizon is going to be the one to gain most from an LTE iPad, because Verizon is stuck on with iPads that get the 3 Mbps eVideo Rev A, and compared to AT&T's HSPA network. So we'll see what happens with this. If this actually pops, I'll be surprised if it has LTE in it. I hope it does. If it does, I may end up ordering the Wi-Fi and LTE Verizon version instead of a AT&T version of the iPad. So we'll see on the 7th. All right, Apple's iPad. Oh, I already talked about that. Let's move on here. All right, how many of you use Foursquare? I find myself using Foursquare when I'm on travel. I don't use it too much when I'm in Hawaii. And matter of fact, we're just getting our first Walgreens here in Honolulu. So Walgreens now is teamed up with Foursquare. And if you go into one, every time you check in, you're going to get a coupon. So pay attention to that. You're going to get a coupon offered to you. So be aware of that when you're using apps. Look for those specials on nearby places when you're using Foursquare, okay? All right, how many of you guys... Now, we're going to test some geekiness here. But how many know who Commander Taco is? Some of you are smiling. Some of you are saying, who is he talking about? Well, I'm not going to say anything more. Those of you that don't know who Commander Taco is, I'll let you do a little bit of research and be able to see if you can figure out who that is. It won't take too long for you to figure out. But Rob Commander Taco Amada is now on to a new gig. He's going to be working with the Washington Post in one of their digital site. I guess they got a special digital shop that has a lot more freedom than what the Post normally does in their regimented reporter section. But be interested to see his type of content coming to the Washington Post. And he's going to be taking over the title of Chief Strategist and Editor-at-Large. So we look forward to seeing his new writings on that website. Well, the security industry is very happy right now. Hackers and groups like Anonymous are starting to really make people talk about security a lot more. And security firms are noticing a huge increase in business as companies are starting to be more concerned about attacks as groups like Anonymous goes in and takes over websites, get into infrastructure. As a matter of fact, Sony's reporting that a big portion of or all of Michael Jackson's unreleased music has been was breached and was stolen during the during a hack in that had basically happened to Sony last year. And but Anonymous is breaking in, taking advantage of these gaping computer holes. So security companies are booming. So if you've got a background in computer security, this is be a great time to be in business because these groups are driving companies to seek your services. Sony, going back to the Sony thing, they said that Sony paid $250 million for the files. Apparently, it was a data grab of more than 50,000 digital files from Sony Music Archives. And they have not yet, of course, recovered that. So we'll have to see at some point if all of a sudden if, you know, unreleased tracks from Michael Jackson start popping on the net. And be curious to see if they do, and it, much to probably Sony's chagrin. But, you know, $250 million would have bought a lot of security. The FCC is seeking comments, public comments, on who can shut down cell phone services. We talked a little bit about this on Saturday Morning Tech, but definitely want you all to be aware that they are seeking comments on who can shut down the cell service networks. This is largely because BART was shutting down cell services during protests. We covered that in detail on the show here last year. But this is good. So the FCC promised this probe, and they're going to be taking comments until April 30th, and we'll issue a reply by May 30th. So get your comments in, okay? This is your chance to speak up. All right, with all this bad weather going on across the United States, we never know when a disaster will strike, but you really can prepare for any catastrophe by using at least these four iPhone apps. One is called Emergence Aid, E-M-E-R-G-E-N-C Aid. It's $1.99. Emergency Radio Free, UB Alert, and of course the American Red Cross Open Shelter View. So this is a great way for you to have some emergency apps on your phone. Keep them in a folder that will be used when you need them. Of course, with the tornadoes that happened in Kentucky, Indiana, and Starkville, and of course, the sad loss of life there, many times you may be without cell service because the cell, you know, depending on what's happened, the cells may be down. But at least when the cell service is available, you'll have access to these apps will help you through your times of distress here. So it's also got warnings and stuff that'll let you know when bad weather's approaching, all kinds of other goodies there. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Good article by the at CNET. All right, Dave Gorman, who's a UK comic, recently received a DMC takedown for one of his own pictures on Flickr. The picture had received over 160,000 views and literally thousands of comments. When the takedown was, of course, he realized the takedown was an error from a porn company, Flickr allowed him to repost the image. However, all his comments are now lost, and many links to the original picture are now broken. So the question is, why can't Flickr just fix this? Why can't they put the original picture back up? I really don't understand the problem over there, but be aware of that. If you have a picture taken down by Flickr, and then you get it put back up after, if it's a popular one, you know, the original links to it are going to be, you know, no longer valid. And you're going to lose some juice there. So it's just one of those things that just drives you crazy. Why couldn't they put the original posting back up? Now, there's an all-out war starting here in the United States and into the UK on talking about cell phone usage in automobiles. The Institute of Advanced Motors in the UK has carried out a test which they say prove that using a smartphone impairs driving ability more than drug or alcohol use. Says it makes reaction times 37.6% slower. And, of course, this result is a big concern since a quarter of drivers are sending texts from their phones, or at least they admit to. I saw a guy doing it yesterday. He was definitely face down in his phone as we were in heavy traffic. And I beat my horn at him and looked at him and did the kind of what up sign. And we really weren't, you know, we were kind of like cruising. He wasn't going too fast, maybe 20. And I just don't get it. Why people are doing that? Why are you texting when you're driving? You know, my kids are in the car and, you know, I don't text when I'm driving because I don't want my kids seeing, you know, if my kids saw me texting, it would set a bad example. So don't do it. Okay. If you have to do it, get off the off ramp or park. And if it's that important, do it then. But, you know, doing a text while on the move is just dumb. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in the peer-to-peer space, and file sharing is moving en masse to the darknet. And, you know, this is pretty predictable here with the entertainment industry going after sites like Mega Upload, the Pirate Bay, and other one. Anyone who's followed the space should have known that, you know, file sharing would move really deeper underground. And this is the latest. There's a massive uptake of a growing number of anonymous decentralized file sharing tools. And basically, it's, you know, it's stuff is not really, it's, they're all designed not to be tracked. And this is just going to make it harder for these folks to shut these sites down. There's got to be something here that's going to be, you know, on the peer-to-peer side that, you know, the movie industry is going to have to learn that, you know, they're going to have to do something to make their stuff more available, or this is just going to continue to rise. While at the same time, the RIAA is saying in public statements, we really just want to give consumers what they want, but we all know this is not true. And it obviously depends on where you sit. If you're the consumer, the RIAA and MPAA are not giving you what you want. If the people are overseas outside of the United States are even in a worse situation because stuff is even more restricted. But, you know, there are many income streams available for these folks, but they just need to understand they got to move to it. And if they don't, more of this file sharing stuff is going to move into the abyss, and these companies are never going to find or have a much harder time finding when stuff is being infringed upon. It's, you know, that's what they force people to do, right? All right, TVGuide.com. And I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't been to TV. I haven't seen a TV guide, or I didn't even know TV Guide had a website, has bought the online programming guide fav.tv. So San Francisco fav.tv site of the has been bought by TV Guide itself. And no word on how much they paid for it. But obviously, TV Guide thought it was going to be an issue and scooped them up. So congratulations to that team. All right, for those of you that downloaded the Windows 8 Consumer Preview, how do you like the new version? Is it, do you like it? What do you hate about it? What's cool? They've got a poll over at lifehacker.com. It says, how do you like Windows 8 so far? So let me see here. I'm going to say the jury's still out because I haven't tested it right. And I'm going to submit this. I'm going to vote and view the results. Interesting right now. There is a small percentage of, a certain percentage of people that are hating it. But so far, there's about over 50% people say it seems fine and they're liking it. But how do you like it so far? Love to hear you guys' feedback on it. Definitely email me here, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. All right, short show today. I've got some things going on a little later that I need to bounce out with, but I wanted to keep this quick and dirty for you today. I do have a voicemail that has come in. We'll go ahead and play that now. And I also have some email comments I told you about at the beginning of the show. We'll go through that, but let's play the voicemail first.
Hi, Todd. This is Jose from Great Golden State, California. And I want to leave my humble opinion about a topic that you covered on your last podcast. It's about Microsoft having a kill switch in Windows 8. Ever since I heard that Microsoft was coming out with Windows 8, you know, I wanted to, you know, get my hands on Windows 8 the first day, you know, on the release date and everything. But I'm having second thoughts about it. You know, I have some concerns. It's making me think if I want to get it or not. You know, as we said, you know, it's a hacker's dream come true, you know. But besides that, you know, if Microsoft is going to have this kill switch in Windows 8 to remove any app, any software, you know, maybe any software downloaded from the Microsoft Store or something like that, you know, for any safety concerns or security stuff, I agree with that. But if Microsoft starts picking the noises in there, and then that's going over the line, you know, or going over the limit, you know. You know, I'm in that point of view, then I am concerned. But if Microsoft is just going to remove any, obviously, software that it thinks it's not safe, you know, I agree with that. But besides that, you know, I'm really concerned if Microsoft is going to be able to remove any other apps, you know, like pirated software, and, you know, or, you know, stuff like that. And also makes me think if it's going to be able to remove any other software that, like, if you buy something from the shelf, from like Best Buy or, you know, stuff like that, and stuff like that. But, you know, that's only my opinion, my point of view, and what I agree with and not, you know. So keep up the good work. I love your show. Until next time.
Hey, thanks for dropping the audio comment. I definitely appreciate it. And those of you that want to do that can do that via the show hotline at 619-342-7365. You know, as far as the she goes, I was talking with some folks about it, and really I think what it's going to be designed for is the stuff that you're going to be able to buy in the App Store that Microsoft is putting together. I think that's where they're going to be able to kill. And, you know, I'm worried about the security portion of it, and I'm sure Microsoft is too. But, you know, it is a little bit discerning, and I hope that Microsoft comes out and talks about when, where, and why they would use the kill switch on a specific app. I don't want them messing with my machine, and I'd like to have a way to opt out of that service as well. You know, I think it's, you know, when it comes to phones and that type of stuff, I understand why they do it, but not for my desktop. It just makes me as much nervous as it does you. But Jose, thanks for the call, and thanks for being part of the Ohana here and following the show. All right, got some emails here. First one is from Richard. Say, hey, Todd, I was watching the Morning Tech of yours, and you were talking about sites tracking everything you do. Well, I had seen in the government news that they had hired the developer for Do Not Track Plus to stop all those connections essentially from being made. What it is, these companies are selling our info into Facebook and others, making billions of dollars all off of us. But the big deal is the extension even stops Facebook, CNN, and even Google. I'm using it now, and it shows you everything it blocks. I've had installed for 3 days now and has already blocked the above sites close to 2,000 times in 3 days. It works that well, a must-have. So again, what is the name of it? It's called Do Not Track Plus. All right, so we'll definitely have to check that out. Thanks for that email, Richard. Thanks for being part of the Ohana here. Got an email from Barry. Said, hey, Todd, had a great time last week. Been flat out since you left. I was thinking that the Azul 17 has reached the top of my Mexican restaurant list. Glad you enjoyed the meal and looking forward to a chance to catch up with you next time you're out our way. In case you can put in a plug, I'd appreciate it. Here's a link. Oh, it's Corey. Check this out, folks. This is a... Barry has a son who I think he's in Philly. When you go to his website, you'll be able to check it out. You want to go to Corys Grilled Cheese.com, Corys Grilled Cheese.com. And, hey, definitely check his site. He's got a truck, you know, one of those mobile food trucks. My wife has always wanted one of those. And definitely check it out, Corys Grilled Cheese.com. Great. Hey, thanks for the email, Barry. All right, got an email here from Steve. He said, Todd, in your last podcast, you said that ICANN did not complain when ICE and other U.S. government agencies blocked the .com domains from some sites. You inferred that ICANN receives a lot of money from the U.S. government to keep their mouth shut. Tell me how that is different than when you keep your mouth shut about GoDaddy's original support of SOPA and PIPA when you get a lot of money from them. Some hypocrisy here, Todd. Steve, obviously I did not. And we talked about that at length in this show. So I don't know where you're coming from on saying I kept my mouth shut. I did everything but keep my mouth shut. Matter of fact, I even had the GoDaddy CEO on a special segment questioning him about their decisions and their change of mind, and they're basically coming back and saying we made a mistake. Big difference here, Steve, in that that's absolutely incorrect on your part on me not saying anything about GoDaddy. Now, let's talk a little bit more about GoDaddy. You know, GoDaddy, just like any other domain register, has to follow the rules of the road within the United States. Doesn't matter if they're ones that we're bashing on them. Doesn't matter who they are. If they receive a takedown notice for .com that they have no choice. Just like any other register, no choice in taking domains down. But when you're the biggest and you're the baddest and you have the biggest site out there and you're doing the high majority of the .com domain registration business within the United States, you always have a big target on you. Now, we've talked about SOPA and PIPA at length on this show. At length. And I think it's a situation that was unfortunate. I didn't agree with their policy on it. But one thing's for doggone sure, they have supported shows like mine and many other content creators where other companies haven't. Steve, do you want your company to come out and start advertising on podcasts and put your money where your mouth is on helping supporting shows? Are you a contributor to this show to help support this show when it's, you know, when we're trying to get support to continue to build the programming? You know, are you an insider of the show? You know, how we're going to get to the point where this show would never need an advertiser is to have listeners and viewers contribute to the show's content. Absolutely. GoDaddy's a sponsor here, but I did not give them a pass. So I don't need to go into this email any further, but if you don't believe I did, then, you know, you need to go back and re-listen to the content. All right. Got another email here from Michael. Say, hey, Todd, your effort and passion in your shows is very evident in your podcast. I enjoy the insight you and your guests provide. But as an original iPhone user, I'm very disappointed that AT&T has misrepresented the malign group of 17 million unlimited data users. I agree, too. We have been loyal to them. I just read that Nielsen estimates that the average iPhone customer uses 435 megabits of data per month. I kept the unlimited data plan as future insurance. I would not get a huge bill if I overused. They have forgotten that people are willing to pay more for receiving no surprise bills. There was a comfort level. We kept paying for more than we were using and used Wi-Fi when it was available. I discovered that watching Netflix movies in 3G uses 500 megs of data. If you commute daily and watch or listen to media, you are considered an overuser, even though they advertise its use. We were willing to pay for an unlimited service knowing that the future technology would not price us out of the market. Look what happened to Netflix when they raised their one-out video by mail by 60%. People don't like surprises. Why should they consider it appropriate for us to pay $30 a month and use 435 megabits of data, but make my service available if I exceed 3 gigs of data? I think we should consider setting a date in April where all unlimited data users turn off all Wi-Fi and use 3G exclusively to send them a message. Maybe they can devise a rollover gigabit plan, like rollover minutes, so you can feel comfortable again knowing your loyalty won't be throttled back. I know they have spectrum issues, and I don't advocate misusing network, but I think they forgot where the loyal users are. Keep up the great work, Mike in Naples. And you know what? I agree, Mike. I agree that they're Indian givers, if that's the appropriate term. I don't know if that's politically correct, but they give something and they're taking it away. You know? Yeah, I don't know. It just amazes me what they've done. But, you know, most people are sheep, Mike. They just roll over and take it, you know? They really do. So, you know, they can't be trusted. And just like, you know, it's amazing. It really, really is. And, but anyway, time will tell here on how this all works out. Hey, folks, let's get out of here. And I hope you enjoyed the afternoon show. We'll be up on replay for those of you that are watching live that caught part of the show or going to maybe miss the later show. I guess you guys are listening don't care about that at all. But as always, send me comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, the show hotline is 619-342-7365. And I appreciate your support. I appreciate all of you that are listeners here. And we can always agree to disagree. And that's the best part about living in this great country. And those of you that are listening around the world, I know many of you have the same rights as well. Some of you don't. But thanks for being here and being part of the family. Thanks for being part of the Geek News Central audience. Till next time, everyone, take care. And aloha.